Today's the culmination of the church year. And sadly enough, it's often missed as one of the major feast days of the year. But everything's been building to this point. What we've done is looked at the life of Jesus, and we see him in various places. And this is the point at which we stop and say, yes, but right now, he is in Christ, he's in heaven, the Father. He's going to be coming again in great glory. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And yet we just kind of let it go by. And we're already thinking about Christmas. We're already thinking about those other things. But I wanted to tell you how key and important this day is and why we do the things we do. We call it the church year. We celebrate it in a special way each year. Now, my wife Carol, a couple of weeks ago, she went to Colorado to visit her mother's identical twin sister, Barbara. And she went to see Barbara because Barbara had fallen and broken her leg. And by the way, Barbara's obviously the same age as her mother. And she's doing fine. She's going to be walking again soon, it looks like. They're made of tougher stuff than we were. They lived in South Dakota for a while. it toughened you up, I guess. But anyway, Carol went, and before she went, she gathered a bunch of photographs that she had that were events and things and people that would be important in Barbara's life. And what her plan was is with her first cousin, Laurel and she grew up together, obviously, with twin mothers. They were born about the same time, and so they were like brother and sister. I mean, sister and sister with each other. Obviously, not brother and sister. So anyway, but her plan was is that they would do a scrapbook and make it very special for Barbara. Because Barbara would be able to relive these special events in her life and to be able to celebrate those relationships, those family members and everything that were important in those lifetimes, you know, and it worked out that way. And I was thinking about that this morning as I was kind of preparing what to share with you. And today, the scrapbook for our church year is completed. Just think about it that way. Because each of the things that we do each week along the year, it's like, if you've ever seen a television camera on something, and all the lights come on it, and it focuses on that one thing. It doesn't say the rest is important. It's saying right now, I'm going to focus all of your intention on this one very special either event or miracle or something that happened in the life of Jesus Christ. And as it goes on, you know, throughout the year, we come to this moment where we're celebrating Jesus in all of his power and all of his glory. And then immediately, we're going to kind of pretend he's not there and we're already looking at prophecies pointing to his coming again. And, you know, and we're thinking about his birth and we're going through. And the question is why do we do the same thing over and over? Well, first of all, we don't exactly because the readings change on a 3-year cycle. But the assumption is that every one of us will grow up a little bit spiritually throughout the year. And each year, we're going to see and experience the Word of God and the things of the life of Jesus Christ in a little bit of different perspective because things will have happened. You know, things will have happened in our lives. It will happen in the lives of those that we love. And so those things will come alive. And we also know that the Word of God is living and true. And, you know, I've always been fascinated. I can look at these things, and it was almost like somebody's been messing with the Bible. It's actually something's been messing around with me. You know, God's been changing me, giving me new insights, giving me new ways, to respond to the love and the power of God. And so, you know, in this, on this very special day, we have one of my very special and favorite readings from Colossians. It talks about Jesus in a way that nowhere else does it talk about him like this. And it says some things that it says, we see him as King of Kings who rules with wisdom and righteousness. That was the Old Testament lesson, doing only what is just and right. We are reminded that he existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. Now, why is it important to be reminded of those things? Because we're going to look at a baby in a manger, you know? And we've got to be reminded that Jesus, right now, is full of power and glory. But we're going to focus on the gift that God gave us in sending his son to live among us and to be tempted in all ways as we are, we've been told. And he says, we are told that God created all things through Jesus and for Jesus, and all things on earth and in all the heavenly realms were all created through and for Jesus. Sometimes we don't understand that, we don't think about it, but, you know, they used to have these signs. The answer is Jesus. What's the question? Doesn't matter. You know, the answer is Jesus, all of them, because all things were created through him and for him, and all of those things have to be, it says, we are also told that he holds all creation together, and that God in all of his fullness was pleased to dwell in Christ. You know, it's an interesting thing, the word that they use about he is the image of the invisible God. I thought it was interesting that in Greek, and by the way, I hated Greek. I had to pass it. I got the good grade, and I immediately forgot all of it. Father Brian, however, has a brain. He'll remember it. You know, but that's one word I remembered. The word in Greek was icon. Isn't that interesting? It wasn't spelled the same, but it was icon. He was the visual representation of all that God is. And it says that every attribute of God was pleased to dwell in Jesus. And it's just so important that we remember that Jesus isn't one of the many ways to the Father. Jesus is the reason for it. He's the one through whom it was all created. And it says, that he will come back in great power and glory, and he will rule all the heavens and the earth. And so we're reminded that he made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of this blood on the cross. It says that Jesus is the head of the church, which is his family. I've always been fascinated with this. You'd have thought God would have a better plan. You know, we look at ourselves and we say, well, wait a second, you know, if this was God's plan, his church ought to manifest a lot more enthusiasm, excitement. I think I've told all of you this story. Carol and I went to a conference in Kansas City several years ago. And it was, they were celebrating the Holy Spirit in the church. And one of the speakers that got up there, he was telling us the fact that he had visited churches from all different denominations, all over the world. What an amazing thing. He was a teacher, and he was highly respected. And he said, I've noticed that there's something that's present in all those churches. That everybody looks like it, that they have had sour lemons for breakfast. I don't know about you, but that wasn't good news. Because I've always said, if you're happy, tell your face. You know? If the Spirit of God is alive in you, it must show somehow. And, you know, the fact of the matter is that he was not seeing that. And he said, look, I snuck a look to the end of the book, and we win. You know? Now, I want you to understand, there's like 70,000 people in this place. And it exploded with cheering. I'm not kidding. It was like waves of the Holy Spirit blessing and exciting the people because, you know, sometimes we've got to be reminded because life doesn't always feel victorious. Please remember, it's not about feelings. It's about truth. And we win. All right? And so since we win, it ought to show in our lives. It ought to show on our faces. The joy of the Lord. He mentioned that in one of these scriptures. Remember, the joy of the Lord is your strength, but it's also the most powerful witness in the world. You know, when I went to go to seminary, you have to go through a process of, it's horrible. I called it going to the cemetery. It was horrible. And I was having problems getting through this thing because people thought there was something wrong with me because I was so filled with God's joy. You know? It just, you can't help it sometimes. It's the gift the Holy Spirit gave me. And, you know, I just find myself smiling a lot. And, you know, full of the joy of the Lord. And I pray that for all of you. That all of you will find so much of the Spirit of God touching your heart and reminding you that we win and that we have been given the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There is no second place team. There's nobody else in the contest at all. Jesus is the Lord of heaven and earth. All things were created through him and for him. And we need to sometimes be reminded of that. So today is a day of celebrating victory.
Amen.
If you don't feel victorious, then what's happened is you're thinking about feelings or things that have happened in your life, happenings, right? It doesn't matter what happens. What happens is that our God has told us that he's giving us the gift of eternal life. And because of that gift, everything about us should begin to change. The Holy Spirit tells us he will change our mind and transform it to be more and more like Jesus Christ. And we're all in the process. You know, I left a bumper sticker that says, you know, God isn't through with me yet. You've seen that one? You know? I think all of this, you need to think about a little bit more of that. But don't let the fact that God isn't through with you yet not still show the world with the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength as a church. And God gives it to us. And we can go into the world and celebrate Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're going to be going now into some prophecies about his second coming. You know, and what we're going to be reminded is that he's coming again. And when he comes again, he's coming in great victory and power. But he's already full of power. And he's given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so we just pray that our Lord God would quicken that within us. And it would be something that would become so evident that people want to know what's wrong with us, just like they did when I went to seminary. They really wanted to know what it was. And I never told them. I figured if they didn't know, they should never know. Let us pray. Our Lord, our God, we just thank you for this day of celebration. We thank you that you have been revealed to us through your word in all of your glory. We celebrate that, Lord, and we ask you right now, Lord God, to send that love, that power, and that joy upon your church, because you've chosen to go through the church into the world to transform this world into followers of you. And so we ask you to empower us as a church and to empower us individually. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.